Hey guys, welcome back once again to the Worldwide Broadcast, your favorite show bringing you the latest world news and health research. You know, I commend a lot of the customers, listeners, Health Masters family that I know of that are actually continually getting constant information like we have on this show, good information, besides just laying around, you know, binging on Netflix and all their perverted tranny ideology they have to shove in every show now. I mean sincere by that.
I loathe Netflix.
Well, no, but I'm picking on them for that specific reason. But, you know, too many times now I talk to people and nobody wants to download information anymore. I mean, you know, like you were talking about writing a handwritten letter. Mm-hmm. You know, doing certain things that actually benefit you, that can help your brain, that can help creative writing, that can help deductive reasoning, can help fluid reasoning skills. So many people are losing that now. I was in Orlando with a bunch of friends yesterday, and I was talking to a college professor. And I was asking him about what's going on with ChatGPT. And he said, they can't write up or sanction the kids for using ChatGPT to write papers anymore at all. They said basically that it's not plagiarism.
It's unique.
Because it's like a calculator. And it's not, you can use a calculator, it's not on everything now. And so pretty much, they'll tell him, like, go back and either, you know, restructure it or clean it up. He said, but quite frankly, he said, the sad part is, he said this, if they don't use ChatGPT or AI to help with their papers, their sentence structure and their grammar is so poor, he makes them go back and rewrite the paper again and tells them to run it through AI and clean it up. He said the papers that they're actually writing, some of the kids are writing them. They're trying to write them without doing it. And he says they're horrible. He says the writing skills of the younger college generation are abysmal. He's been a professor for almost 20 years.
Well, you know, remember when we were kids, you did it in Beck and I did it in school. We always, you know, did sentence and grammar diagramming.
Correct.
So we make sure the diagram was correct so your verbs and all the other things would be in the right place.
I don't even think they teach that anymore. The noun, pronoun, adjective, all that stuff. Did they even teach that?
I never liked it.
But I hated it. I learned it. But it actually taught you how to actually construct a sentence.
I had this one lady, her name was Mrs. Bush.
Yeah.
Meaner teacher I've never had. I mean, that woman was mean. She'd put people down in class. I mean, it was awful. But boy, I tell you what, if you had a run-on or a fragment sentence, man, you got it was automatic F. You didn't redo it.
Oh, well, that's a bit much.
No, it wasn't. As I said, a meaner teacher I've never seen.
Well, no, because I mean, the thing about it with English, because I had the same thing in college professor, and, you know, see, sometimes if you're not that good at it, it's a difficult subject where you got to have somebody kind of, hey, listen, this is a problem, this is a mistake, go back and fix it. If you don't get to go back and fix it and they don't address it, they just give you an F, then you're like,
I was in the advanced program.
Yeah.
So I was advanced English, so she expected us to know.
She expected it to be done, okay.
But no, it was just, she let us drop a couple of the S before the end of the semester.
Okay.
But she just, it was straight. There was no fixing it. It was an F. And I remember she only taught for a couple of years and she went into pharmaceutical sales, if I remember right. She used to live next door to us over here after we moved here. And she was still mean. I remember I talked to her husband one time and he said, oh yeah, I had to get rid of her. So mean. I thought, this is terrible. But she went down, but now, to give her credit now, she's always nice to me. But said, you know, but I did get a couple of those F's that I got to drop. So I tell you what, it tightened you up, man.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at. And that's what he was saying is he's making them go back and rewrite it. He's like, heck off. He's like, if they got to use AI to clean some of these papers up, he goes, what are they going to do in the business world? They're going to have to do something. I at least have to show them what they made mistakes on and make them fix it. But they cannot write up kids that are sanctioning them for AI at all. It's not plagiarism.
You know, even when I was a college professor, gosh, that's been 40 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I still remember 45 years ago. I don't even want to admit that. But I still remember the kids, they could not answer a short answer essay.
Yeah.
They would leave it blank. And then a lot of the kids would leave true-false questions blank.
Dude,
this is 50 years ago, 45 years ago. And I remember, I finally went in front of the class and I said, let's learn about probability. Here's a quarter.
The true-false one's the one that always got me. Leave T and F blank.
Yeah.
I mean, if you absolutely didn't study, you completely are coming in, you don't know what you're going to make on it. I mean, dude, run T's all the way down, run F's all the way down.
Well,
worst case scenario.
Well, there was one professor at a local university got fired for that because all the answers were always true. And all the answers for the answers for the multiple choice were always
my point exactly. You go in, you're like, I'm not sure. I'm gonna flip a coin, true all the way down.
No.
The probability is you're gonna hit someone.
Well,
of them.
No, he made them true.
So
everybody would get A's.
Imagine that. You play a red black roulette on it. You're like, I didn't study. Hail Mary on it, tree all the way down. You're like, God, I got a 98.
Well, no, then what happened is he started having kids complain because they weren't learning anything.
Everything's just going to class.
And finally, he taught them for about 10 or 15 years, and finally they terminated, and they wouldn't renew his contract. You know who it is.
Yeah.
And he's a nice guy, but the problem is that, you know, he just didn't want to, but he got burned out. And so it was easier instead of giving people A's and B's and C's.
Well, it's easy. Every semester you just copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
Same exam, same everything.
No, but I'm like, every true-false question was true or false, all of it, all the way down. And every multiple choice was always like A or always B.
I think the exams were pretty much always the same every year. So that was the thing. If you had, classes the year before, you just kind of asked all the prior class.
I remember, though. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't illegal. And I remember I had a friend of mine who was in a fraternity. I was taking economics. And he said, you want the exams? I'm like, really? I had everybody. Everyone had ever asked me that question before. Because the frat had them all. And I'm like, so I thought, sure, I'll take them. Because I thought, I will study off them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you'll do that. You'll take an exam and you'll study off of the exam so you know what the professor's going to ask. But it's not the same exam.
Maybe, the professor usually changes it.
Sometimes some of the questions are the same, but they're not in the same order. So you have to know the material. So I remember I studied this exam and I learned all the answers to the questions. And I went and took the exam in the laboratory and it was the same test. And I'm like...
Exact same. Copy-paste.
Yeah. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I mean, how do these guys get these exams like this? And apparently... The professors give out the exams.
Never changed them.
And I got a kick out of that. That was like the one class that happened to me in college like that. I thought, wow, that was crazy. And then I started realizing how all the frat boys got through college staying drunk all the time. Sorry, frat boys.
If you were in college and you're staying drunk all the time, make sure you're taking the GHI cleanse at least. That way you cleanse your liver out. So that was horrible.
But it was true though.
If you got a kid in college and he's still trying to make it through and he's in a frat, send him a can of GHI cleanse. He'll thank you the next morning. So be sure to check that out on the sale for 10% off.
Oh, by the way, the 12 healthy foods covered in cancer-causing chemicals and pesticides.
Here we go. Now.
The stuff that you think can actually stave off cancer can cause cancer. Including these fruits and vegetables. There's 12 items in your local produce section that could be teeming with cancer-causing chemicals, and they need to be bought organic if you're going to buy them, and you need to know who the suppliers are. So here we go. You guys ready for this? It says about 40% of spinach samples contain dichlorodiphenyl trichloroethane, which was banned by the EPA in 72 over concerns about widespread environmental damage. Like, if it's banned by the EPA in 72, why do 40% of spinach samples contain it? Strawberries, which we all have known, leafy greens such as kale, grapes, and peaches rounded out the top five dirtiest foods, with people consuming them reporting significantly higher pesticide levels in their urine compared to those who ate lower residue foods. Now, this is unbelievable. It's so funny. You try your best to get this stuff, and you don't realize it. Spinach, strawberries, kale, collard, mustard greens, cherries, peaches, grapes, nectarines, pears, apples, potatoes, which doesn't make sense because they're buried, I mean, I don't get
I was about to say, I didn't expect that one. I knew strawberries were.
Blueberries and blackberries. And so I don't understand how in the world potatoes are like that because unless there's something in the ground already. But you got to think about it, though. A lot of the ground that's being sprayed is being sprayed with Roundup and other things. And so you end up basically eating a lot of the stuff, even if it's in the soil. It's kind of sad. I said 35% of collard. I don't know who wants to eat collard and mustard greens anyhow. They're just nasty. Sorry, if you know how to fix them, let me know. I'll try some, but they need to be organic. Had a detectable levels of dichloromethylene. Grapes landed at number 4. Peaches, 5th of the worst foods to put in your body. That's why when I see these things, and it says sweet corn, avocados, papayas, and onions all rounded out the top 5 cleanest foods.
Avocados are big. I saw it on a list here. Avocados down here in Florida will grow great. It's on a tree. They don't have to be sprayed with anything. Most avocados, we had a neighbor. I can't believe they cut it down. We had a neighbor next door to the office. He lived there.
Oh, yeah.
What, years back, he had this avocado tree, and it was so big, it hung over in the back of our property.
He cut it down, though. I don't know why.
And I'm not joking. We would go out there in the morning or after work, and there would be avocados on the ground. We'd be pulling them off the tree. He didn't care. He didn't pick half of them. We'd go out there and pull 3, 4, 5 avocados every week.
Well, that whole area where we built the office used to be an avocado orchard.
Oh, it was great.
Trees everywhere.
They're all gone now.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's cut them all. I'm like, God, why would you cut that down in your backyard? I mean, it's literally free food. Avocados are one of the healthiest.
I used to sell avocados. We had one. It's so funny. I had my mom had the German Beer Tavern. So I decided I was going to be the entrepreneur at a young age. And so they had avocados in the – we had a big, huge avocados in the backyard.
Yeah.
And I would go sell them. To the drunks.
good healthy fat, at least get omega threes.
Well, at least they were getting more than beer.
Yeah, omega
and,
three fats.
You know, and I would have, and this thing was like 40 feet tall. It's a huge tree.
No, they get huge.
And I'd get up there. It's amazing. I stayed alive in my youth. And I'd shimmy up these branches up to 40 feet, and grab these avocados.
With a sack.
Finally, I developed a new way of doing it, which I had to put up. I had a cane pole, and I built a net for the back of the cane pole. With a string on the top of the cane pole that had a little clipper thing on it, so I could get up there, put it up there, clip it, and it falls into the net, not shatter and break.
Yeah, bust.
Oh, I was an entrepreneur, and I remember one time I was in sixth grade.
Yeah,
this is back, you know, in the dark ages, right? And I remember I pulled my cash out, and I took it with me one day. I had $100 with me. In sixth grade. I remember the average wage, the minimum wage was $1.60.
That's a lot more than 60s, yeah.
Okay? So, you know, a full life, full week salary for these women working in the cafeteria was like $50.
New Mustang was like, what, $3,000 back then?
I'm this 11-year-old little punk, right? And I whip out a wad of money, like it's $100, you know, and, you know.
All ones and
one
fives.
Five,
rack.
I'm a little, and some girl goes, so the lady goes to me, goes, where'd you get all that money? I said, I earned it. I sell avocados. And she goes, somebody else take that money. I'm like 5 feet tall. Yeah. Like, nobody take my money, you know. I'm 5 feet tall. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. But it was so strange because I was able to, you know, sell those avocados and make money on them. So I have a special affinity in my heart for avocados.
They're really good fat, man. A little bit of salt on them, on top of your eggs. I mean, they're great.
The research also revealed that the Clean 15 list, the top was pineapples, which has a real thick skin.
Yeah, yeah.
Then sweet corn, but you got to be careful with that because it's going to be sprayed with
glyphosate. It's got to be organic.
It's got to be organic. Avocados, papayas, and onions. All around that top five. The full list of the cleanest foods are pineapple, sweet corn, avocados, papayas, onions, frozen sweet peas. And what am I frozen? Asparagus, cabbages, watermelon, cauliflower, bananas.
Bananas.
Because of the skin again. Yeah. Mangoes, carrots, because they're underground, mushrooms, and kiwi. The study builds on previous work shows that certain fruits and vegetables are a major routine of pesticides. Also, if you have potatoes and they don't sprout in your refrigerator, they've been irradiated, chances are.
Yep.
So don't be buying those anymore. If you have onions that don't sprout, don't be buying those anymore. And if you are eating stuff that has the pesticides in it, get GHI Cleanse. GHI Cleanse will help detoxify the liver. You got a can of that anywhere else?
I did somewhere. All right, here.
GHI Cleanse. It's the one that
scooper's
cleans out
around there.
Yeah, I took it this morning. I just finished it.
It says kiwis around here. I've always loved kiwis. Kiwis are extremely high in vitamin C.
But we got a lot of those when we were in New Zealand, remember?
And they're really high in vitamin C.
Oh, yeah.
And there's another study that came out now on the vitamin C, and it's talking about how research shows that vitamin C helps prevent neurodegenerative diseases and those at high risk.
Like Alzheimer's.
Yeah, it's an essential nutrient with potent antioxidant properties. I talk about it all the time. It basically is vital for synthesis of collagen in the body. Oh.
Hand me that vitamin C powder over there.
Vitamin C.
Every morning, camera rich, every morning I take a scoop of this. Every night before I go to bed, a scoop of this.
It really helps out with collagen production in the body.
Oh,
and coming back to that, and yes, I know I've gotten the emails. Everybody's screaming and yelling at me in bold caps on my emails. Please, I hear you. I don't need any more emails. I have another collagen formula that's going to be a secondary one coming out. The original formula put together, I'm still working on it. The problem with it is the grass-fed bovine that I was getting, the source dried up on that on my first batch. So I have another company making it for me now. It's a good one. But I have a secondary one that's an advanced formula with three different types of bovine collagen that basically comes out of Europe. It's a really good formula. It's a little bit pricier. It's a bigger can, though. It's a really, really, really strong formula. It's, from what I'm looking at, it's about half the dosage of it. The old one that I have, it's still in production, too, but I have run into a problem trying to get. There was a company I talked to, and I was supposed to basically begin an assay testing. Never got it back. Never got clean testing on as far as it was guaranteed 100% grass-fed bovine. And I said, I will not take delivery of it unless you can provide that for me. Another company, they like doubled their cost on it on me overnight. So what's happened is now this grass-fed bovine collagen is getting more and more popular.
We set the precedent.
It's getting a lot of traction. It's good. It's quality. I love it. The problem is now the manufacturers have realized, wow, we can actually really start hammering the price on it, and they have done so. And so I've gotten
it would have doubled in price, so we can't do that to you guys. And I had it this morning. I have some left.
Yeah. There's not. I mean, the orders, we've had them on back order with it, so you've seen it on the site, but I'll have a new one in probably this week or next. It's basically
another good
new
product.
It's called the Collagen Peptide Advanced Formula, and it's a three different blend one. Really, really good formula. Really clean, because that's the thing you've got to watch out. Let me make this really clear with you guys. There's a lot of companies that are selling beef collagen or collagen peptides online. A huge source, and it's not as bad as other raws, but about 60 to 70% of these are coming somewhere out of China or other Middle Eastern countries or India. And that's where I've gotten the sources from with those, and I'm not going to take it out of there. I either want, basically, they're down there in South America, I want it out west, out of Utah, or I want it out of Europe. Because I know those always batch tested good and clean. So be cautious of where you're getting your collagen peptides from, because there are a few companies I've seen on Amazon, and they're like dirt cheap. And I have no idea how they're possibly selling grass-fed bovine collagen.
Well, most of them are.
There's no way, because I've looked at the literal cheapest prices I can buy these in enormous raw batches, and there's no way to actually even sell those and much less make money, much less actually even stay in business. I mean, lose money the price they're selling them at. So that shows me that the quality's garbage. So I'll keep you posted on it, because the collagen is really, really important, and I know everybody wants it. And the purple sticks in a can, those will be here. They should be here next week as far as the first batch of those. So don't worry. And the question that I will answer to everybody, if you've got something on auto ship, we basically just pause the auto ship while it's out of stock. We had backup supply to cover auto ships. The problem is when the supply can't keep up anymore on the backlog because we get delayed, like with the beef collagen, I just have to basically zero out the cost on the auto ship. So it'll say auto ship. You're not charging anything. Once it's in stock, we'll start reshipping it again. That way it's clean. You don't pay anything. We don't have a bunch of backlog. And we can get caught up as soon as we get them in. So that is the basically housekeeping that I want to handle today on that, revolving that. And the vitamin C, yes, really, really important effects of vitamin C. Combats oxidative stress, immune support, facilitates collagen synthesis. Huge, huge one around here. There's a clinical trial found the supplement 500 milligrams a day for 4 weeks essentially had massive effects on ulcer healing. Like, I mean, really, really good stuff as far as the body. Promotes cardiovascular health and maintains brain function. Vitamin C crosses the blood-brain barrier, kind of like magnesium brain food does, and really helps out synergistically, from my opinion, what I found with the magnesium brain food and the vitamin C. That's why I always take them together on here. And one thing I want to shift, because I was talking about AI earlier, and this is an article I wanted to get into today. It says, not for kids. Adult-only AI is quietly powering kids' toys.
There we go.
New reports comes out. Now, this may not sound new to you, because I've covered this topic, I think, 3 or 4 different times now. And it's a problem. It's becoming a trend. And it's not going away. It's getting worse. And there's pretty much no regulation on it at all. The new report from the Public Interest Research Group that just came out, their title stated, Not for Kids Found in Toys, warns that the flawed policies of major companies such as OpenAI and Anthropic allow powerful chatbot technologies to make their way into stuffed animals, robots, and toys designed for children. Now, let me clarify this. The flawed policies of major companies. That's not a true statement. These are not flawed policies. These are intentional, in my opinion. They know very darn well and good how not to put these in children's toys. It's not hard to put blocks on stuff. Guys, we've had, you know, McAfee virus protection since the 2000s. These guys aren't stupid. They're tech guys that know how to build OpenAI chat. They can make it so they don't go over to kids' products, and kids' products are not allowed to have them, and the companies that are manufactured don't have access to them, period. So that's a big lie right out the gate. According here now to the report, they said he looked online to find a growing number of AI toys, talk stuff animals, toy robots, powered by ChatGPT. They're just one problem. AI companies say these some chatbots are not for kids. PRIG found it's easy to enter into agreement with major AI companies to access their technology and create kids' toys. They said, I think it's important to understand that a child's brain is much easier to influence than adults. They said, and children operate a much different brain wavelength, makes them easier to program and influence.
Theta brainwave stage.
Yep. Whoever programs these AIs are now having direct access to the child's brain in regards to these chat box toy operations. To say that caution is warranted here would be an understatement.
Well, it gets worse, Austin, because these toys, some of them are going to be connected to the doggone internet.
They all are.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be.
You can't have ChatGPT or AI toys without having Wi-Fi access.
That's why I want to make sure.
Clarify that.
And that means that if somebody's at the other end of the internet talking to your kid, they're going to be saying stuff to that kid that you don't need to have them say.
Or programming AI to do the same.
That's right. AI is just
it's loose, it's all it is.
But once we understand that, we need to realize that our children do not need these. I mean, the kid starts telling, okay, this has already happened with these children being told to commit suicide.
Yes.
The kids don't know any better. They're 7, 8, 10 years old. They don't know any better. And, you know, they think, oh, yeah, that'd be great. You get to commit suicide. You get to go fly like an angel. It'd be fun. And the kid goes, oh, it'd be fun. Oh, why not do this? They have no idea what they're doing. They're completely and totally innocent at this age. That's why these doggone weirdos come after them when they're so young. So keep your kids away from AI toys. Don't buy them.
Listen,
period.
PIRG found 20 current AI toys sold online using OpenAI. This includes Bondu, a stuffed dinosaur marketed for kids age 4 to 8. 4 to 8, guys, has AI intelligence conversation companion toy teddy bear for sale available on Walmart. Another one, Folo toy, which OpenAI has now been banned from PRIG's research because it was discussing sexual topics with children and giving them step-by-step instructions on how to start fires in their house. What? Marketed to four-year-olds. And you think this is accidental? You think this is just, whoopsie, we can create AI, insane technology with AI, but we don't know how it got in children's toys. Whoopsie.
And basically, we were always told when we were kids, you don't play with matches. You don't do that.
It's kind of like Saddam Hussein's got weapons of mass destruction. We need to invade Iraq. Based on that level of lies. Oh, it's also the COVID shot built by DARPA, the RNA gene therapy shot. It was safe and effective.
Oh, I got the ultimate lie. Benjamin Netanyahu does not control Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a lie.
Oh, Benjamin Netanyahu's not a war criminal.
Oh, by the way, I also alluded to this in the beginning. I want to just talk about it for a second. The old-fashioned habit that doctors say can cure loneliness and heal emotional wounds, and that's writing real letters.
There you go.
You know, if you write a real letter and you actually handwrite it out, you know, let's say you got somebody you're mad at. You think, well, you're starting off with being mad at somebody. Yeah, I'm going to start off with that.
It happens.
No, it happens. And you write this letter to them. It's a catharsis. It clears it out of your brain. Now, you don't mail the letter. Don't do that. You know, just so you can lay it on the, you know, on the cabinet and look at it 10 years later and laugh about it and put it through a shredder. It doesn't make any difference. You don't mail it. You write it out. I remember I had a family member years ago that was just an absolute mess. And, I mean, I wrote them a letter. Boy, I said, here's the truth. Here's the blah, 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 blah. And I wrote this 5-page letter out. It was great. And I put an envelope, and I said, I'm going to mail this later. And I stuck it in the drawer. You know, 5 years later, 10 years later, I find it. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't mail that. But, boy, it made me feel a lot better. I mean, years ago, I remember I had a good friend of mine. His dad was best friends with my dad. And we had a conflict in a doggone church meeting. I'm not going to get into detail about it. It doesn't really matter. It was because of bad leadership, actually. And he wrote me a letter. He did, boys. Let me know how the world works. And it was a thick one, too. And he had it in my envelope. He had it in the mailbox. He mailed it to me and looked at it. I just laughed. And I wrote on there, return to sender refused. And I dropped it in the mailbox, went right back to him. And I remember years later, he said to me, he goes, I'm really glad you sent that letter back. It wasn't necessary. I said, I know. I said, we've been friends for a long time. And quite frankly, I don't want to read junk like that because I knew what you were going to do. And it's no point in it. It's no point at all. So just let you go ahead and keep it. He said, well, I'm really glad you didn't do that. So the letters are really, really nice when you write them to people that you love also. And you tell them how much you care about them, how much you love them. And so just do that and do it and do the old-fashioned way. Put a stamp on it.
Well, here's the thing, and I thought about since you're bringing this up. You know, the issue we run into a lot of times is we end up saying stupid stuff when we're mad. And, you know, when you start having this, I try to always avoid this now because I hate texting anyways. But when you get in these, like, a text argument with somebody.
There's no emotion conveyed.
There's no emotion. So you're not discussing the conversation and having rebuttals. You start saying stupid crap via text. And then it may not even be that bad, but then the person reading it, all the emotions interpreted with text.
That's exactly right.
It's all interpreted. So you may be saying something like, well, this really frustrated me to this point. I don't like you to this, blah, 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 whatever. Well, the person reads it and they go, I'm really frustrated by the way you treated me, blah, blah, blah. Why would you talk to me like this? I can't believe you'd say this to me. And you're sitting there going, I'm just trying to communicate with you. All the emotion is interpreted.
Pick up the telephone and call them.
Call them. Have a conversation over the phone. Because when you start writing stuff like that, like you said, the good thing about if you write a letter and you're mad, you put it on the counter. You don't hit send. You got to go to the post office. Mm-hmm. You got to put a stamp on it. You got to really want to send that letter. Mm-hmm. Whereas you text.
And you think about it for a few
days.
Oh,
you just hit the send button. Yeah.
I've lost several friendships over this.
Over Texas, yep.
Because they start saying stuff that's really, really aggressive. And my response is always, why are you being aggressive with me?
And again, the response is interpreted. The emotions are interpreted on your end or the other person's end. So what they're saying isn't that big of a deal, but what you're reading it a completely different way.
Especially if a person that you're trying to talk to is a megalomaniac.
Yeah.
It goes bad fast. I had this evangelist person that I know, pastor that I know. I tried to be friends with him years ago. And he was always coming out and saying cutting things on text. And finally, after about the fourth or fifth time, I said, this kind of crap needs to stop. I said, I don't talk to you like this.
It's too difficult to interpret.
Hmm? No, that was his personality.
Yeah.
And he had that reputation of always burning bridges, always burning bridges. And he burnt the bridge. And finally, I told him, I said, the only reason I haven't come back and said something really ugly to you is that you claim to be a prophet. Now, listen to me for a second. Now, the Bible says, touch not God's prophets, do them no harm. And I said, so I'm trying not to be, mean to you. I said, but I won't put up with this again from you. And that was the end of it. I never heard back from him, and I never contacted him again. Because the next time would have not been cordial, and I didn't want to do that. Because I try to walk in love. The Bible says to do that. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes some people are really hard to walk in love with. And some people, no matter what you do, because they're takers and you're a giver, they will take and take and take and take and take, and they will never give back. And when you stop giving, they'll want to know why you're not giving to them anymore, and they get angry.
That's exactly right.
And they're not thankful for what you've done for them. They're not appreciative at all. They're mad because you haven't given them more.
That's very true.
No, it's true. You say you give them $100. They're like, well, I don't want $100. I want $1,000. And you're like, well, I really don't have that in the budget right now. What do you mean? And you're like, and they didn't give you anything.
No, they provide nothing.
I've seen it over and over, and I've learned a long, long time ago that when people provide nothing from you for you, you need to really kind of stay away from them. Just like Trump needs to learn this, because Trump is now furious at Israel for destroying the Iran oil fields as crude surges and planned summit collapses between the United States and Israel.
Imagine that.
Well, you got to remember, Israel's a taker.
Oh.
When's the last time that Israel sent us money for a national disaster in the United States?
Oh, yeah, I remember that last hurricane we had. Mm-hmm. They sent over all these Israeli support National Guard over here to help us out.
Well, what they do is they bring our police officers about 20,000 a year
exactly
into
right.
Israel and teach them how to put their dog on neck, their knees on people's necks and suffocate them. They teach them how to do that. They teach them how to do that really well with Mossad. They teach them how they like to shoot Palestinian children in the strips of Gaza for sport. They teach them that, too. But our boys don't really put up with all that stuff. And they program everybody. Israel gives us nothing back. But they want everything from us. They take it all. And when it reminds me of that one movie with Jack Reacher. And he goes, well, why are you doing this? Why are you taking this? How much money are you making on these? He goes, money? So we take what we can take. We take everything. There's no money. We take it all. We take it all. We take everything we can take. And it's true. That's how they act. Now they've dragged us into this war. Rubio said that. Rubio said the reason they attacked Iran was because they knew that Israel was going to do it. They didn't want their bases targeted, so they went in there and jumped inside of it. Oil's gone through the roof now. We're about to have expensive gas and oil and diesel again. And the sad part about it is that we're going to affect the entire planet now, because here's the biggest problem they've got with the Straits of Hormuz. One of the byproducts of oil is sulfuric acid.
Yeah.
It's used in everything. The manufacture of copper, of aluminum, sulfuric acid is used in all industry, and it's one of the byproducts of oil production, and we're going to have a massive shortage now of sulfuric acid.
Well, that
because of the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it, though. You'd think, because I know, they're already working on the production of it. Do you think we're going to start switching over to Venezuelan oil now in the time being?
The problem was we should have had that set up.
That's what I thought.
Already.
I know a lot of the infrastructure there is dilapidated in order to produce enough to actually make a difference in the price point for the United States.
Well, that's the problem that we have, isn't it? I mean, we have we want to have the ability to do all the stuff. We should have had it already set up.
For over
a
year or two.
Yes.
Wait, the thing about it is, though, in my opinion, I think that's going to be what the savior complex play is going to be. Just in my opinion. You're going to start seeing the oil prices go up, the whole nine yards. We've already watched this do cycle after cycle after cycle, which it's not the end of the world. Don't freak out. This is what happens when fuel goes up. Everybody's got to
come back down again.
It always comes back down. This is what they do, guys. They do this in cycles.
And what happens? Like eggs. This is eggs.
This is eggs again. We've got a giant war in Iran. We've got to run oil up to $120, $130 a barrel.
All the stuff in the pipeline was the same price.
Yeah.
Nothing changed.
This is full speculator manipulation this, right now. This is
eggs at $12 a dozen.
You remember the shipments that already have been through the Strait of Hormuz a week and a half ago. They're still en route to the United States. The oil infrastructure and the price points are already in place. They're already with refineries. Nothing's changed except for futures and what the speculators have pushed up. Yet oil prices, gas prices at the pump have already gone up 30, 40, 50 cents. Why is that? It's price manipulation, just like eggs. We've got to wipe out all the chickens in existence because they have the bird flu. Well, you got 2 million chickens. How do you know they all have the bird flu? Because we swabbed a beak of one of them. One of the beaks tested positive for bird flu. So we kill all the chickens.
By the way, the chicken was healthy.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we already know like 70 to 80% of the PCR tests are false. False negatives, false positives. So again, this is exactly what they do to bring the price point up, to see how far they can push it, see where the pushback. The problem is they already know where the pushback is going to be. The United States population is very resilient with this. We're just going to be like, okay, guess what? We're not going to drive around and waste money going to places if we don't need to. Just business is business. People got to do stuff. People still going to stay stocked up on food. That's why I've had a lot of people ask me about the food buckets recently, the organic food buckets. I have one down here. By the way, this is one. This is not empty. None of these food buckets are empty. I don't keep them around. They all got food in them. You ask me why I still have food in them.
Organic pasta.
I didn't mean to cover up Dad there. Because this is my personal stash, if you guys want it in the studio. This isn't my only bucket. I keep these on hand in the event that I need to have them. I have a kitchen here in the studio, in the compound. So if we need to make this stuff, I have it right here on deck. I can throw it in a tub of water and cook it off my well water and be done with it. What is this one? Oatmeal. I got breakfast, too.
Organic.
I got breakfast. Now, you also get the meat buckets you want to add into it or add other sources of protein. Now, the oatmeal is great. You throw some Fit Food in it.
With everything that's going on right now, everybody needs to have some stored food again.
Yeah, and I told everybody, people ask this, I don't recommend people going bonkers. I've got a 10-year supply of food in my bunker. You got 10 years. I mean, that's cool. That's great. If you're still eating MREs after 8 or 9 years, it's gone sideways. At that point, you better be figuring out how to hunt and fish before, you know, you're running out of your 10-year supply of food in your bunker downstairs. I recommend at least run a 90 or a 30-day supply for your whole family.
I remember.
My 90s best 30s.
I had a friend of mine named Terry. This is back in the 80s. The world's coming to an end, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things happened back in 84. Something was always yelling about the world coming to an end.
Right.
It may have been 88. I don't remember. And I remember he literally had a stack of food in his living room that was about to the ceiling. It was like 3 meters
food
high.
Food buckets or MREs?
It was everything.
Yeah.
I know it was literally 20 by 20 feet by 10 feet high.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is awesome. It wasn't freeze-dried. It was just real food. Like,
it lasts for a while, but
it's going to expire before it runs out.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. But by the way, with sulfur, and by the way, Qatar has completely stopped sulfur production now. Southeast Manufacturing is saying they have to have sulfur because they're going to have feedstock shortages without sulfur. Copper and zinc extraction requires sulfur. The petroleum refining process is dependent on sulfur specifications. Battery production, including using sulfuric acid for lithium acid and for lithium mining, is basically requiring sulfur. And it's unreal what they're doing here. And so sulfur is a big deal.
I got to show this. This the level of propaganda mixed with stupidity if they think this is actually something that's going to make the population feel better. This is Donald J. Trump's personal tweet that he put out yesterday. He's now saying that the oil prices are only a small price to pay to make sure Iran nuke threat is over. Yes. Short-term oil prices, which will drop rapidly when the destruction of the Iran nuclear threat is over, a very small price to pay for the U.S. and world safety.
Why are they destroying Iran's nuclear their
oil facility?
Only
fools would think differently.
That makes you a fool if you think different.
Right. You see what they're saying there. If you disagree with the narrative and you think we shouldn't be starting a conflict, by the way, that was not congressionally approved, you're now a fool because Iran had nuclear threat. What happened to the B-2 bombing raid we just did 6 months ago that we loved the blast out of everywhere and tell everybody how good we did? Or was it that Israel needed a cover to level Beirut?
By the way, Ian Fitness, you remember Ian?
Yeah.
He came out with a really good video that I just posted this morning that you guys can watch. And he said, please watch it because he could be killed for doing this.
I talked to him during COVID when he was running for all that stuff up there. Yeah. He's a cool dude. Trains heavy.
So, yeah. So, and by the way, Haifa got their oil refinery bombed. And so now the port of Haifa in Israel is burning. I have a feeling that this little war that they decided to start is not going as well as they thought it would.
Well,
you know what Iran was doing? This is interesting. They're sending up drones, little drones.
Yes. Okay? Cheap drones, like $30,000 drones.
Maximum price.
Unarmed.
And they're sending up missiles with it.
Yeah.
And so what happens is the Iron Dome locks in on all of the drones.
Heat and signature shoots, target acquisition.
And they start shooting them down with these missiles, right? And then they can't hit all the other missiles that are coming in that are real missiles.
Well, and also did
they send them in clusters with hundreds of them.
And what one of the contractors I knew told me this. I talked to him the other day. He said the goal to do that was to burn out the payload of the Iron Dome.
That's right.
With the air defense systems. Because it was the decoys. This was an old strategy that was constantly used during Roman times. And it progressed. Is you would go in and you would send men that were just fodder. You send in the first wave of guys that just... And this is sad. They're all going to die. They just send them in. Send, 50,000 men in. And what they'd do is they'd see what the forces of the castles and their empires would basically be able to handle. The catapults, the archmen, all that stuff. And so they'd wipe out. They'd lose 10 or 20,000 of their guys. Most of these guys were not very skilled fighters. So they're basic just ground infantry that was just meh. What they do is that everybody's watching. All basically strategists in the military. They go, okay, you got catapults here, you got these targets here, you got these. We're going to let some more wipeouts. It's another wave in. Wipe out more armaments. Well, by the time you get to the third or fourth wave, everybody's running out of munitions.
You know, there's a movie called King Arthur.
Yes.
Okay?
That's a little strategy.
It had Clive Owen in it, and he was fighting this German invader. It's always got to be the Germans. And it was funny because they had to attack the wall. They said, send these guys first.
Yeah.
And they did it on purpose. And they knew they'd all be killed. And they were all killed but one. And then one of them got out of it, and they killed him. They said, okay, he's screaming and yelling, got to kill him. And but they wanted to check and probe the defenses.
That's exactly right. Probe it. And so that's what Iran did. And granted, let me clarify something. I've got a couple of emails. I am not an Iran sympathizer. I don't like Iran. I don't like Israel. Oh, man, you guys are going to like that one. I don't like either one of them.
I can't believe you just
said that. You know what I like? You know what I love? I love, support, promote, and stand with the United States of America. I was born here as a U.S. citizen. Imagine that. I don't have obligations to a Middle Eastern country that I'm not from. Now, everybody has their own opinion. That's my opinion. That's my conviction. You can have a different one. However, when you start having people in the U.S. government and Senate and the Congress that are sworn under oath to defend the United States against all enemies, foreign or domestic, and we're going out now and fighting at the behest of another country because they deemed it so, I got a real problem with that, especially if we don't have the money to do so, especially if we don't have the defense
to do so.
We're
borrowing the money.
Yeah.
Borrowing money from the Rothschild
boys. And we're borrowing more money to give more money to Lockheed Martin and Raytheon so they can make more missiles to give to other countries.
Well, they're owned by the Rothschild boys.
Right. BlackRock.
Bloodline families. Yeah.
BlackRock. And so, again, that's the way. So I'm not going to get into this whole topic back and forth on here, but a lot. Let me put it this way. A lot of the theater you're hearing back and forth on both sides is propaganda and AI. I will tell you that right now. The U.S. is saying that this war's about to be over next week. Israel's saying they're winning. Iran's saying that they're doing the same. Iran's saying they're not getting beaten up. They're blowing everything
Iran
up.
Iran said they will never surrender.
Right. Israel. And here's the problem with this. If this actually goes, there's only one option. Well, there's two options, but they'll never do it. One option is, at this point in time, if this goes on long enough, we've got to back out. We've got to back out of the bomb. He's going to run it. We're going to run out of munitions. You're going to look like a giant, complete, and total moron to the rest of the world. We started war. We can't go on. The second option is the only option is we're going to have to send in ground forces. We're going to send in Rangers. We're going to send in Marines.
There's a third option. Nuclear weapons.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. Israel
can do that.
Yeah, they can. If they do that, though, then everybody starts using nukes. They don't want to mess up the infrastructure. It becomes too desolate. They could do a strategic ones, but I don't think they're going to do that. It's easier to start a ground war.
A lot of people said they use many nukes in the trade towers.
Correct. Now, they might do that. But as far as full-blown atom bombs, Nagasaki, they're not going to do that again. It makes everything too uninhabitable.
They said they wouldn't live there for another 1,000 years. It's all fully rebuilt.
But look at Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. That meltdown mess over there.
By the way, Starmer, the guy there at UK, wanted to go ahead and send a carrier division. Well, like I think England has one carrier division over to the area where the Iraq is now. And Trump told him, forget it. He said, thanks, but no thanks on last-minute Iran help. War has already won. That's pretty arrogant. Now, what he could do is this. He could spin it. He could say after 2 weeks of this, he could say, we've done it. We've crippled their infrastructure. We're pulling out. Now we're done. If Israel wants to do anything else, Israel can do it.
Yeah.
He could do that.
They could spin it if they need to. They have the propaganda machine to do so. But they're going to, that timeline's going to get thinner and thinner.
Well, no. Well, you know, and the problem is, if they start putting boots on the ground, that's what's a quagmire. Look at Afghanistan.
No, that's
we were in Afghanistan for 20 years.
The problem with it is, here's the issue. All the combat veterans that deployed in Afghanistan, Iraq, they're all still very alive and well and very vocal. And so if we do this again with Iran, we're going to get everybody supported, not everybody, the vast majority of people supported because of 9/11. Now, here's the only other option. This is the genie in the bottle option that nobody wants to
talk
about.
False flag.
There you go. That's the only other option. Oh, my gosh. We've had a massive city. We have two cities. We have three cities now that have had basically Iran sleeper cells activate. We've got 15,000 casualties.
Iraq has basically released a nuclear weapon.
Or biological.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to do a full ground invasion of Iran.
Well, by the way, that would be a lie. It won't happen. They don't have facilities.
That's the only way they will get a ground invasion to get past the American populace and not get fully eviscerated.
You know, I was at church on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was in church Saturday and Sunday morning. And it was interesting because I met this guy from Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay. He was driving he had an old T-Bird.
Yeah.
That 2002 T-Bird. And I was driving an interesting little fun car that night, and I borrowed from a friend. And I remember I started talking to him about cars, and I asked him, I said, what do you think about what's going on in the Middle East? He goes, I'm 100% for it. I said, well, what about walking in love that we're supposed to do as Christians?
Yeah.
Now, his wife's getting really uncomfortable. She's standing there with us. I mean, we're outside the church. We're not in the sanctuary. We're in the little foyer out there. And I said to him, I said, I just really would rather just walk in love and just let people be. Let everybody do their own thing. Just don't be trying to force people to do things. And he goes, no. He goes, we need to keep it over there because we don't want Iran having nuclear weapons. And I thought to myself, my God, I mean, he's that brainwashed.
Yeah. Well, that's
but he was adamant. And I thought to myself, and you know, he's a baby boomer. And I thought to myself, what the heck is wrong with baby boomers? The baby boomers are the ones who were raised on that Scofield reference Bible.
You see, my generation is the ones that went through Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
My generation is the one that said, we're not doing this again. No, we don't need to do this again.
The baby boomers are the ones who basically watched their parents fight World War II.
Yeah.
Okay? And they thought that, you know, the United States was the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread.
Yeah.
And
we saved the world from basically fascism.
Yeah. And then when General... You know, Patton comes out and say we fought the wrong enemy. We should have fought with the Germans and destroyed, you know, communism. So they had to kill him. And so it's all interesting because, you know, when you control the media as these Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan people do, you can make the media say anything you want to because they're a little parrot for you. You just pull the little string and they say what they say. And all of a sudden you have millions upon millions of people listening. I was listening to that one thing that Ian put out there. And he has one of these guys from Israel talking. He goes, you think your stupid podcast is going to change anything? We control the media. You need to watch this video. And he's right. He's talking to a crowd. Your stupid little podcast. Probably picking on the Ted Nostin Brewer show and Candace Owens because her podcast has changed it a lot.
I know.
So is ours.
We're a bunch of rednecks down here in Florida.
With a transmitter.
With a transmitter on Global Star, by the way.
Highly.
We have global media.
And by the way, highly educated rednecks.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we do what we can down here in Florida. You know, it's so funny. I have to say this is funny. So I called him, company that I know the other day, to order some stuff as far as for the office. And one of the reps there, they were out in Missouri. And he was, you know, we kind of chit-chat first. And he's like, what do you guys, he's like, you're down here in Florida. I said, yeah. He goes, Florida. He goes, I just got to ask you a question. I don't talk to a lot of people down in Florida. He goes, is it true you guys have alligators everywhere? I kid you not.
That's true.
And I said, yeah. I said, most people don't generally see them because they don't pay attention. I said, but if you get around any type of open waterways, I said, they're there always. If it's wet, if it feels like a puddle,
if water,
it's got a gator in it somewhere. That's why I tell you that. And he goes, what about all the, you know, crazy, you see Florida man? I said, yeah, we got a lot of tweakers down here. And I said, and we just got a lot of, you know, us local rednecks running around deciding we want to blow up Tannerite on property for no reason at all.
With permits.
With permits.
Any lawful purpose.
Any lawful purpose with just about every gun in existence known to man can exist in Florida legally, which is great. And I said, yeah, that's down here in Florida. He started laughing. He goes, I got to get down the one time. Hang out with all y'all. It sounds like fun down in Florida.
Well, no, Reddit does this. Reddit pushes this stuff all over the world. I've got a girl I know from Germany, great girl. In fact, I'm dating her. And she told me, she goes, you're a Florida man. And she said, I know. And she goes, you've got to take me to Walmart. I've got to see a gator. And then she went, of course, we have a place right down the street. You hold a gator.
Yeah.
And
I told you that. The flea market has a gator, giant gator pit at the flea market 2 miles from my house.
Yeah. And they got a 15-footer over there. Yeah. You can't find him, though. He's buried in the bushes somewhere. And so the other day I was walking around Lake Hollingsworth with your kids, with my grandkids.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there's a gator, little baby one, about 2 feet long.
They keep Hollingsworth. They usually keep the big ones out of Hollingsworth.
Yeah. Well, they don't want them running up and grabbing dogs and kids.
Well, it's not. Good.
No.
It's not a good look.
So I looked there and I looked at Hunter. I said, watch, Hunter. I put my fingers up like this. I said, now watch. So that's how we cut him in half.
With a permit for any lawful purpose in the state of Florida, with a permit.
The thing about this is that, see, when I was a kid, we didn't need permits to keep these wretched things out of the lakes.
Well, now, if you are in fear of your life in the state of Florida, you're allowed to protect yourself for any manner.
I mean, we just knew what they were. They're 18-foot reptiles that eat anything. They're apex predators. And so we got them all pretty much out of the lakes. We actually swam in the lakes and really never saw gators.
Well, my favorite part is when you go on social media and you see the guys, as far as we're tagging them, hunting them legally, and then you get the people in the comments. I can't believe those gators were there first. They were there first, and you've invaded their environment, and now you're going to kill them.
But they won't talk about how we invaded the environment of the Indians, took over the United States. Well, Indians are a lot more important than gators were.
Let me be clear on you. It's really easy to have that mentality when you've never seen somebody that a gator's bitten, which I have. You've never talked to somebody that's had somebody killed by a gator that's just walking down. You've never had somebody drugged in the water by a gator and had their arm ripped off in half, like that guy over there in Ocala. Once you start having enough experiences because somebody is just minding their business and the gator comes out of their environment into yours, it's real easy to have that mentality on. I'm just going to clarify that.
Well, I mean, so what happened is, so they put them on the, so then they decided they were going to take the Florida men and they're going to fix us. Forgot about the Louisiana men.
Yeah.
Mississippi men. And they decided that they're going to make them on the endangered species list like a bald eagle.
Full danger. You're not allowed to touch them.
You're going to prison 25 years.
Don't look at them.
You kill a gator, you're going to go to prison.
Yeah.
Period. And all of a sudden, we stopped killing them. And all of a sudden, they start growing. And all of a sudden, about 20 years later, whatever it was, they said, we have vastly underestimated the amount of gators in Florida.
That's literally what they said.
That's what they said. Because they don't, until the anacondas and the pythons hit the Everglades, but the apex predator was the gators. And now they get to fight each other down there. So, yes, if you read all these things about Florida being like that, it is true. Now that we have really reduced the amount of water moccasins, though. They used to be everywhere.
I think that's a lot of the chemicals.
It is. It's all the chemicals.
The frogs, the clams, they've all been decimated, which has been sad on that.
Especially with the clams.
I hate water moccasins, but it hit everything.
Yeah, I remember one time I was mowing down at the lake, and I was mowing the yard next door to me, and they had a bunch of tall weeds by the water. I had a big old grasshopper down there trying to clean it up, and man, I hit me about a 5-foot moccasin.
Oh yeah,
I mean blood and skin and fangs everywhere. It was awful. I thought to myself, well, I'm glad he didn't jump up here with me.
The problem is with water moccasins, a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of snakes, like say like a rattlesnake out in Texas, they usually stay put. They get real aggressive when you get near them. The water moccasins will go out of their environment to come after you as soon as they
I've had it happen twice. You were at the lake
in
that
the
time.
Water with their head up.
Were you at the lake that time? Oh, yeah. Came out? This thing was like 5 feet long. And it was big old fat.
They're creepy as heck because you'd be in the water.
Out of the head,
and
also head
you
up.
See about a head and about 2 inches of the neck, and they're swimming and they're fast.
And what happened, we were by the dock. I think it had a nest under the dock. We had a bunch of kids down there. And Mike from Dave's Power Equipment was there. He grabbed a shovel and cut it in half and killed it. And, I mean, it came after us. And I had one time, I remember, I told you the story before. I was clearing the side of the canal out by my lake that I lived on when I was a kid. And I saw one swimming down the white side of the sand. And they're unbelievably venomous. And I hit it with a shovel. My shovel wasn't sharp. All I did was really piss it off. Excuse my vernacular, and it coiled back on me, and I saw what it was going to do. I knew it was going to do, so I ran up the bank, and it landed right where I was. It came after me. You say, well, you attacked it first. Yeah, and if I'd had a 12-gauge, it wouldn't have attacked me either. Those are pit vipers, guys, and they come out of nowhere, and they're super aggressive. People say, well, water moccasins aren't aggressive. Whatever, man.
How much experience you had with them?
That's me.
What did you always say? At sound, you're coming. What's it? You're speaking from the point of education.
You're speaking with a confidence that's generally associated with ignorance.
There you go. Yes. So I said, water moccasins aren't. They're not aggressive at all. How many water moccasins have you seen? Well, I've read about them. And then you said,
no, I'm gonna tell you the story. I'm up there for Amelia Island of that fort. What is it? Fort Bragg, Flag. What is it?
Yes, it's the old fort up there at the top of Amelia Island. It's really cool.
State,
spot, by the
state.
Way.
It's a state. It's a beautiful place. You need to go visit it. Be careful.
State fort.
Yes. Yeah. What is it called?
No, it's a state fort. I don't remember the name of it. I'll find it real quick.
Yeah, check it real quick.
Really cool spot if you're up to me.
So I got all the little kids with me, right? We're walking out to the fort. And, you know, they're all barefoot. They want to go swimming. And, you know, it's funny. So we're out there, and we come back, and there's a rattlesnake laying on the sidewalk. And whoa, he's on the sidewalk. Kids are like 2 feet
from Clinch.
Fort Clinch. And I grabbed the kids, pulled them away. I said, okay, great. I went and got a big limb, a stick. I was going to go bash his head in, okay? I didn't want to pull the pistol out because back then you couldn't really do that because of state park. And I was going to kill this thing. And somebody told the ranger about this thing. He was running out and said, you kill that snake, you're going to jail. And I said, it's a rattlesnake. He goes, yeah. I said, they're not in danger. And he said, it doesn't matter. It has rights here. I said, it's laying on the stinky sidewalk with five-year-olds running by with no shoes or pants on. I said, what is wrong with you? You're wearing your swimsuits. And he goes, it's protected. So he grabs a stick like an idiot. And he picks it up. So he's just dumber than a box of rocks. Because the snake can move. Remember, it's not paralyzed. It can strike you if you got it on a stick. And he's like there. And I thought he was going to kiss it. And he picks it up. And he's talking to the baby snake. And I'm like, I looked at him. I said, dude, what is wrong with you? And so he walks over like 10 feet and puts it in the bushes where he can't see it anymore. You know, and I looked at him. I said,
it's hidden from the
children. Now it's hidden from everybody. I looked at him. I said, dude, man, he was from up north, like you know, Canada or whatever. And I said, I'm not picking on Canadians, but you don't have snakes like that.
I love our Canadian customers.
Me too.
That comment was not directed towards you. You guys are smart.
No, and I thought to myself, I thought again, he's speaking with a confidence that's generally associated with ignorance. And I said to him, I said, you've never been around somebody who's been bit by a rattlesnake. I said it causes cellular necrosis
fast.
I mean, fast, and it can kill you fast.
You got to make sure you give the
better antivenom quick.
You've got to get to a hospital. Most hospitals have antivenom down here in Florida. If you get bit by one of these, you've got about an hour to an hour and a half to get to a hospital. After that, you start going in cardiac arrest. If you get enough venom and your heart starts shutting down.
Gene had a kid he got bit by one.
Yeah.
He's playing with it like an idiot. He lost three fingers.
Oh, yeah.
The
necrosis, it will rot. If it doesn't give you cardiac arrest, it starts rotting the tissue within a matter of hours.
Oh, and then, so we went to the campground there in Fort Clinch, and all of a sudden, there's a guy, great place to go, great place. And so we go out to the beach, right, at the campground, and the kids want to go swimming, and the guy's out there fishing.
It's pretty cool.
And I said to him, I said, how you catch it? He said, well, you gotta be careful. He said, there's a bunch of sharks right here in the shallow water.
Yeah.
He said, they're taking my fish when I catch them. And I'm like,
there we go.
Yeah, he said, be careful. I said, I wouldn't let your kids swim out there right now. It's got sharks in it.
What's cool about this spot, though, I digress on that. I have all these bunkers underneath everything here. You go inside.
I never saw any combat.
But, man, it was built for it, though, man. I mean, they built it thick. All these aerosol munition supplies underneath and behind the wall. Mm-hmm. So it's all got the stuff buried. And they got all these really, really cool portholes everywhere. They do demonstrations there all the time. But it's pretty cool because, Dave, if you look at it, this is all inside burial. And I mean, they loaded up with all these heavy, heavy, heavy weapons up here in every direction. It's at the top far right of Florida, Amelia Island, the furthest most point in Florida. So
it's a great place. By the way, it's a great place to go.
It is. So don't let them spook you.
No.
If people ask all the time, only out in Florida, but I don't want to support the faggot rat. So I get it. I'm like, okay, fair enough. You don't want to go to Disney.
Did you say faggot rat?
Did I just say that?
That's terrible.
Oh, I did say that.
Well
you
that
guys already
out.
Know what I said. You guys already know.
You're talking
about
Disney
about.
Now.
Whoa. I did not say Disney. You said Disney.
He meant something else. That was not
I didn't
Disney.
Say Disney. I never said Disney. Never said Disney. I would never say Disney. I would never use that.
Let's change the topics. Lindsey Graham is now bragging about colluding with Benjamin Netanyahu to manipulate Trump into war with Iran.
Hey, but we got Fort Clinch State Park if Iran tries to come over
we
here.
Are talking about a faggot rat.
Sometimes stuff slips out.
Oh, my God.
But Fort Clinch is a great spot. So, yes, if you ever want to
And I never said that Lindsey Graham was a faggot rat. I never said
no.
that.
No.
I never said that.
I never said Disney. So, yes,
we're going to get letters
cool,
on the
if you
show.
Want to do cool stuff in Florida, stuff like this is amazing. It's cool. It's a, you'll also go down to St. Augustine after this and see another fort that's down there that's pretty cool stuff. So, yeah.
According to Graham, he spent months lobbying, holding private conversations with foreign leaders, and coordinating media pushes to persuade the president to authorize strikes against Iran.
Graham
told the Wall Street Journal the campaign started just after Trump won in 2024, presidential election, when the two went golfing. It was reported. I'm not going to say anything. It was reported.
Don't do it. Don't you do it.
I can't.
Don't you do it. I know what you're about to say.
It was reported that during one of these many rounds of golf, Graham reminded the president of the Obama-era nuclear Iran deal that was his moment to make history. Graham further commented that Iran would always be an impediment to having a normal relationship with the Middle East. The Journal reported that Graham would repeatedly harass senior White House aides to the point they called him an annoying, crazy uncle. No, I didn't say that. No,
if Graham, not a P-word uncle.
No, I don't think he is that. I don't believe he's that.
I do.
Graham also ran counter to Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff, who repeatedly pushed for a more peaceful resolution to the conflict. I said they don't want to deal. Graham told the news outlet, "They're not trying to buy a house; they're trying to burn your house down." You know, I don't know where he comes up with this stuff. I think he has a little purse to go home.
I don't believe for one second this conversation happened on a golf course. I think this is total theater to keep people distracted with bread and circus. Here's a loaf of white bread. Here's a loaf of Wonder Wheat. Here's a load of jam. Here's a load of peanut butter. Here's a pitcher of beer. Stay distracted. You know what they don't want you to do? They don't want you to take magnesium brain food to be awake and aware of what's going on.
Your brain fog, make it go away. Oh, my God.
Don't get brain fog. Get brain food and get back in the game, my friends, and don't believe all the lies that they're telling you, because I'll tell you one thing, and you will find this to be very, very true. About 90% of everything you read and hear on the mainstream media, if it's not a bold-faced lie, it is a manipulated propaganda piece to make you think a certain way. Flat out, period.
That's fact.
It's the truth. Where it is with this whole thing now. That's why I continue to keep telling everybody one of the most effective things you can do is keep your cognitive function at top peak. Because the faster you think, the quicker you are, the more intuitive you are, and the more wisdom you have instilled with you, like by reading the Bible and praying and having more connection to God. In my opinion, the more you do this, the more intuitive you are and the more you pick up on BS. It just is. That meter gets real full real quick and you're like, nah, I don't buy this. Something ain't right. Everybody knows, especially if you have good intuition, something happens sometimes. Everybody's had this happen. Something happens and you go, that ain't right. What they said to me ain't right. They're lying to me. Something's being manipulated right now. Something isn't right. And so again, my friends, that's when I tell you one of the most effective things you can do among all this theater you're seeing is to keep your hearts and minds strong. Keep raising little Americans, little Romans, little Americans. Keep them strong. Keep them in the fight.
And pay attention to James Wood. He said he's done with the Republican Party after the uniparty traitors like John Thune, Republican out of South Dakota, refused to pass the SAVE Act, voter ID, and blocked by an attempt by Nancy Mace, Republican out of South Carolina, to subpoena immigration records for Representative Iman Omar, who married her brother, supposedly, to settle the... I hate to say that.
Allegedly.
Settle the question whether she's legally in the U.S., I'm done with the Republican Party, Woods, 78 years of age, said on X. Between this and Thune's refusal to pass the SAVE Act, I'm done with these uniparty traitors. I'm changing my party affiliation to independent. That's kind of where I am. No wonder President Trump is fighting an uphill battle every day, he said. Between this and Thune's pass the SAVE, he is sick of these people. And, you know, the sad part about it is when you start to realize that our political process in the United States has been completely corrupted through dual citizens from other countries.
There you go.
And through massive groups like AIPAC to put a huge amounts of money in. And if you watch that video that I sent from Ian, if you guys watch it, it really goes into detail about how they say that they're paying other, they're going, when people stand against them, they're going after them and funding their opponents, which we've already known that too. So it's been interesting how they're coming out of the woods and saying all this stuff now in these public forums, which really didn't make a whole lot of sense while they wanted to do that. Used to be they always wanted to hang everything underneath, you know, the table and not let everybody see what's going on. But now they're right out there in the open with everything because they have the United States as their big lapdog nuclear power who wants to basically do everything they want to do now. It's kind of
crazy. I got a really good review that popped up here at the top on the GHI cleanse. I want to read this. This is something I've told so many people about. You guys want to know if the product actually works. These are all verified through Shopify, by the way. It said right here, works like a charm. This is a GHI cleanse. I drink two GHI shakes a day with a very clean diet for 2 weeks, then switch to one GHI per day for 6 weeks, continue with the diet. 20 pounds practically fell off of me. I love it.
We're out of time.
Told you guys. Try it. On sale right now, product of the week. You guys stay strong, stay healthy. We'll be back on this show. You need anything? Healthmasters.com. Call us or email us. Appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow as always.
Remember, Jesus' grace is sufficient for you, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.